Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on a SmackDown Friday evening. Feels like it's been a while since we've been here on a Friday. Or did we just say that last Friday? I don't remember. Anyway, we're with you here for the full four. We are asking you to download the Radio.com app, or sorry, Odyssey.com app. Dang it. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station and the show. How do you do it? Odyssey.com app is the easiest way. Put that on one of your devices today, right? Take that smartphone, the Alexa speakers, tablet, Laserdisc, Commodore 64, boombox, whatever your device is, just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. That, of course, myself would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there on the other side of the glass producing the show. He will ask the questions later on for a rank'em, as, of course, it is a Friday, so we have to do that. We'll do a challenge chuckery, by the way, coming up at the top of the hour, although I did kind of already give Jarvis the question that I want to talk about a little bit, so Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. Lots to get into with you here this evening. At least it started off as a good day, right? It's a winning Friday as the Braves get into the Windy City, into Chicago, and they take game one of this three-game series this weekend with the Chicago Cubs. 5-2. They made it interesting at the end. Will Smith walked the bases loaded, but got out of it. Will Smith walked the bases loaded, but he also struck out the side. So there you go. Had to have a little bit of drama, a little bit of fun with it. Now, Kyle Wright made the start today, 4 1/3 inning, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. He was fine. He was effective and did his job. Why is he pitching? Because Drew Smyly has gone to the 10-day IL. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get back and some Braves thoughts or whatever, but I hope we're not going down this road of repeating some of the things that we saw last year from a health standpoint for the Atlanta Braves. But anyway, Wright did what he had to do. He didn't get the win. Tomlin got the win in it. He pitched an inning and a third because Wright only went 4 1/3 innings in the game today. But 5 relievers do the job, don't allow any runs, and Braves win 5-2 today. Ronnie scored once and drove in a couple of runs. Ozuna had 3 hits and an RBI today, so he's starting to get some things cranked up as well. Also in the game, Ender, he kind of pulled up lame in that game. What was it? He was going around second, as an inning was ending, and kind of pulled up lame. And then toward the end of the game, you had Ozzie Albies get plunked right in the knee. And Jarvis and I were talking. When he got hit in the knee, which it was his right knee on a pitch, he obviously bent and straightened up his knee and kind of straight up locked his knee. How painful must that have been to take a ball right off of like your knee locked up like that? He had to come out of the game and Sandoval ran for him. How about that? How often is Pablo Sandoval used as a pinch runner in a game? But, the Braves had been going to their bench already at that point, because they brought up Caharga, so he's on the roster now. And, of course, they brought Kyle Wright up to make the start today. So he is, he's part of this mix now. As they're hoping Smyly only misses about 1 start when all is said and done, 1 or 2 starts at most when all is said and done. But we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up a little bit later on. So good start for the Braves, 5-2 today in Chicago. And look, they need to gather some wins. Only 6-8 on the season this year, so they need to gather up some wins. It was great yesterday. They had yesterday, the walk-off win. They really needed that because it would have been awful bad. Getting swept by the Marlins on your home field, and I know people love to talk about, well, you know, I don't look at the standings until, you know, the Memorial Day and all. Okay, well, I don't know if you know this or not. The games you win and lose now count just as much as the games you win and lose in September. And losing four games to the Marlins on your home field would have been bad. That's a lot of extra work to make up that you shouldn't have to be doing. You shouldn't be losing four times on your home field to the Marlins. Now, like we said, it was a walk-off win. They got it done, and they needed that, and maybe that momentum will carry them into this weekend. Because, you know, let's face it, the Cubs are not a great team either. They're 5-8 now on the season. They're only 3-4 at home themselves, so they've not been any great shakes thus far. But you needed that yesterday. I think you needed that feel-good moment, not just from the, okay, we really needed a win standpoint, you know, because the Braves had lost four in a row at that point. Remember, they lose that crazy game on Sunday night with the blown call that Major League Baseball acknowledges was a bad call and whatever. But anyway, you know, look, unfortunately, you're going to get some of that. But, you know, you lost two extra inning games to the Marlins, then got blown out in another game where Adam Duvall just went crazy on you. You needed that yesterday. And if nothing else, the psychological aspect of it, and like I said, hopefully that carries into this weekend because Braves need to start getting this thing turned around. I mean, it's only 14 games in, but again, this is a team that's supposed to be arguably the second-best team in the National League. You want to debate about the Padres and the Braves, you know, who should be number two or this, that, and the other, or, you know, whatever, okay? You can debate that, you know, all you want, but the Braves were in the NLCS last year. The Dodgers have been ridiculous this year with how good that they've been. I mean, good Lord, they're 11-2 already on the season. I mean, they've just been absurd. They haven't missed a beat. They're not missing a beat. Every time that guy in right field that, you know, we would never consider trading for plays, they seem to find a way to win. But anyway, good start for the Braves in this series in Chicago. Much needed win. Let's see if they can continue that momentum all weekend long. Hawks last night, they lose in Milwaukee. Look, Milwaukee's a better team. One angry, one upset. Trey was playing through some things last night where he just kind of could tell at times that he was not completely healthy, but he's trying to gut it out and get through it. Obviously, still no John Collins. Was what it was. You know, Milwaukee made kind of a late flurry there at the end of the first half, and Milwaukee's a better team. I mean, it is what it is. It's why we've been talking about, I'd love for the Hawks to get a 4 or 5 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs so that you can avoid Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn is a different animal altogether. Strange, how about LaMarcus Aldridge deciding to retire, right? Just up and decide after he got his get out from San Antonio, decides to go to Brooklyn and then says, you know what, I got to focus on my health and I'm retiring now. So, but look, Brooklyn's a different animal. Philly's a different animal. Milwaukee's a different animal. We know that. They're just a better team. So if you can do anything to avoid seeing one of those three teams to me in the first round of the playoffs, we had Sam Mitchell on last night. And he said, you know, I think the Hawks can beat Philadelphia. I don't necessarily, I'm not telling you that it's impossible. You know, those teams aren't the, you know, the 72 Lakers or the, you know, the 72 Bulls team, you know, 72 win Bulls team. I'm not saying that those teams are like that, but they're clearly different than the rest of the Eastern Conference, right? We understand that. I mean, the Hawks are 5.5 games out of the 3 spot. You know, the Hawks where they sit at 4, and where the Pacers sit at 9, you've got 3.5 games. But you have 5.5 games between 4 and 3. So there is a definite imbalance in the Eastern Conference from the top 3 teams and then everybody else. And then the bottom feeders with Cleveland, Orlando, and Detroit bringing up the rear. So when you go from, well, throw Washington probably in that category as well. Toronto's coming close, you know, to all of that. But at least 4 through 10 or 11, there's not that big of a difference between those teams. And certainly if the Hawks are 4 or 5, they can certainly beat anybody that they take on in that. Right now, the Celtics sit in the 5 seed. They could certainly win a series against any of those teams. But it's why I'd rather just do everything they can to avoid Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn in that first round. Because I think anybody else is beatable. I just don't think the Hawks get past one of those teams if they have to play them in the first round of a series. So we've got Hawks basketball coming up on Sunday as they will be here again at home against the Indiana Pacers, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock tip. Steve Holman and Mike Conney will have the call for all of that. Of course, tomorrow, don't forget, we've got MLS season opener happening. So we finally get some Atlanta United back on 92.9 The Game. You're home for all things Atlanta United, as well as the Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta Falcons. Coming up tomorrow, Jason Longshore and Mike Conney will be on the call. 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock kickoff. So Orlando SC will be the opponent as Atlanta United gets down. We were saying this the other day. Let's go down there and get a win against Orlando. Let's remind them that we're, you know, last year was last year, but it's a new season. Yosef back, and we're back to our winning ways. Let's go down there and beat Orlando. So, of course, G-Day tomorrow as well. We will hear from Chip Towers a little bit later on as we get ready for G-Day tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 to noon, it will be a special edition of College Football Game Time. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, and some guy named Chuckery will be a part of that show. It is the best college football show, not in Atlanta, in the country. Let's just call it like it is. It's the best college football show in the country. Not those goofballs on ESPN or anything that they do, which is just dreadful with Herbie and Desmond and all those. Oh, just dreadful. That show is so that show went being from one of the great things of all time to just it's just painful to have to watch and all that. So you want the best college football show in the country, 9 to noon tomorrow, College Football Game Time. We got a lot going on, and obviously we'll focus hot and heavy. But the SEC as a whole is loaded for bear tomorrow. You know, Alabama's got their G-Day game. Alabama's got their spring game coming up tomorrow. So, you know, you got a lot of SEC teams tomorrow that will be getting underway and getting their spring game in. So we'll break it all down tomorrow with you. So, and then, of course, next Friday, a week from today, is T-Day, which Hugh Douglas and I are hoping to be at. Excited to hopefully go and see Georgia Tech and see what they've got going on this year. You know, we'll talk, you know, at some point as we move along through maybe some of the expectations for Georgia Tech this year. Oh, we're going hot takey already? Oh, okay. I don't know. Listen, have you talking about for the ESPN show? Have you seen that show? How many years now have I told you that Kirk Herbstreit has jumped the shark? He's completely jumped the shark. Yes, he's completely jumped the shark now, and he's just in full hot takey, just ridiculous take mode. And I can point to the I can tell you the exact moment when that happened. I was watching it on TV, the national title game of Oregon and Ohio State. That's the moment when he made that call about Cardale Jones and, oh, look at him, you know, reading the he throws a ball up in the air off his back foot to, what's his name? Was it Devin Smith, the wide receiver? Kid out of Maslin High School. State high jumper and all that. And he just throws a lollipop up, and Smith goes up over top of those guys. Like, oh, what a read. Give me a break, man. He jumped the shark at that moment. That's the moment where it's like, all right, Herbstreit's done. He's done. He'd given you a few little teasers up to that point. When he started doing that on his broadcast, dumb stuff like that, just ridiculous commentary like that, it's like, okay, he's officially jumped the shark. So anyway, the best college football show in America will take place from 9 to noon tomorrow. So we will talk a little bit later this hour to our buddy Eric Edholm as we are, 13 days now from the NFL draft. 13 days from the NFL draft. 2 weeks from yesterday now for the NFL draft coming up. And obviously, look, the key to the draft is what the Falcons decide to do it for. Do they pick? Who do they pick? Do they trade down? That's how the draft direction will go. The draft starts at 4. I don't care what 3 quarterbacks are taken at 1, 2, 3, because they're all going to be quarterbacks. So it's just a matter of who's left after the first 3 picks. The draft starts at 4, and the Falcons hold all the cards to decide about how this thing is going. And again, hearing a lot of the rumor and innuendo, Denver, New England, Washington, that seems to be the 3 teams that if there's going to be a trade that the Falcons, you know, drop down, that seems to be the 3 teams that, I mean, are bullseyed in on trying to be that particular team to get it. So who knows? It may end up being that the Falcons don't want to trade down. They may have their guy. Maybe Pitts is their guy. Maybe Sewell. By the way, have you seen Penei Sewell, that he's working out at right and left tackle? Do we not call this? He's working out. He's now learning about right tackle. Because if he comes to the Falcons, he's playing right tackle, folks. He ain't playing inside. He's playing right tackle. You don't draft him number four overall to learn how to play left guard. Sorry. Jarvis, back me up on that. You don't draft a guy at number four to learn how to play interior offensive line.
You know who's going to be learning how to play left guard?
Yeah, Caleb McGarry. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, when we get back, let's hope that we're not starting to get into a repeat of last year's Braves rotation health woes. We'll talk about some Braves next with you here. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios on a Friday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuck Reed Show, hanging out on a Friday evening from the Kia Studios, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're already getting Rankums coming in on the text line already. So, hey, line them up, man. It's fine. We got a ways to go. We got 3 hours and 20 minutes, but that's all right, man. We will take them because Jarvis will write them down and he'll keep them. So if you have no fear. Hit us up with your Rankums if you want. Odyssey.com app, how you catch us on the go. Social media at 92 in the game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD9. You can hit us up with Rankums there as well. Couple quick notes just before we get into Braves. I was talking with Jarvis in the break. Dodgers go into San Diego this weekend and said, okay, you young upstarts and you young fellas, let's see what you got. Yeah, Bueller, Kershaw, Bauer. That's who they're tossing out there this weekend. Here you go. Come on, come get you some, young fella. Tatis and Machado and come get you some. Come get you some of this. You want to see if you're the best of the best? Okay. We're going to come into your ballpark, and we're going to come in with, you know, three of the probably five most dominant pitchers in entire. Walker Buehler, I don't think people understand how good Walker Buehler is. If you look at some of his analytical stuff, he's as dominant of a pitcher as there is in Major League Baseball. And I'm talking about Kershaw, Garrett Cole, Scherzer, anybody you can name. You look at some of his underlying stats, he's unbelievable how good he's been over the last couple of years. And we know, we've seen him, we saw him, you know, last year. But I'm a huge fan of Walker Buehler. He's quickly becoming one of my more favorite pitchers in Major League Baseball. And by the way, SmackDown coming up at the top of the hour. Do you see who the new color commentator? How about this, Jarvis? The new color commentator on SmackDown. They moved Corey Graves off of SmackDown because they're redoing the tweak in their announce team. The new color commentator for SmackDown, Pat McAfee. Now, McAfee did some stuff on NXT, and he actually did a match on NXT, but former NFL and now podcaster, Pat McAfee now will be the color commentator on SmackDown with Michael Cole.
That actually might work.
Let me tell you, Jarvis.
That might work.
On NXT, he was fantastic. Like, I'm telling you, he was a natural for the business. He was a heel. He had a little faction. He did a match. He was terrific on NXT. So if he can bring that to SmackDown, I'm all for it. I think people are going to be surprised. If you saw him on NXT, you know he was really, really good there. I'm glad that they found a role for him. But, you know, of course, again, he's still podcasts and everything else, I mean, you know, out there. But, yeah, I thought that's an interesting choice. Is Pat McAfee going to be now the color commentator on SmackDowns on Friday night? Well, speaking of smacking down, the Braves – smacked down the Cubs today as they won 5-2. Now, one of the main stories in this was the fact that Kyle Wright had to make a start today. Why? Because Drew Smyly had to go to the 10-day IL. Now, he joins Max Fried, of course, as starters. Chris Martin is, of course, on the 10-day IL as well. But, you know, obviously, you know, look, Fried, we know it was a hamstring thing, although I'll say this. Yes, he was having a hamstring issue, but wink, wink, he was also, you know, 0-1 with an 11.45 ERA and had given up 15 runs in 11 innings. I'm not saying he wasn't hurt with his hamstring, but I'm saying that even if he could have probably got it out, they probably told him, yeah, go get your mind right in this, that, and the other. Smiley, of course, you know, what was it, shoulder, I guess it was, that he had. This has been part of his problem, you know, previously. And obviously we know Mike Soroka is still trying to come back and work his way back. And, of course, that was a non-contact injury. The, you know, the ACL, when he stopped on that ground ball, hit back to him, and just you could see, you instantly knew on that play what had happened to him. But it kind of sucks again because we're back into that boat of what happened last year, right? It was Max Fried and his cast of characters until they did bring up Ian Anderson, and he really kind of helped solidify things. But, you know, obviously, you know, you didn't have a whole lot with Soroka going down. You know, how many games did Cole Hamels pitch? How'd that work out? Oh, one three-inning game that he pitched last year. And then obviously a lot of guys who were not effective, the Mike Fultoneviches, the Sean Newcombs, you know, the Tuki Toussaints. I mean, everybody that they could try to toss out. Now, Sean Newcomb has found new life as a reliever, another inning of relief today for Newcomb. So he pitched an inning. He had a hold in the game today, but a walk and a strikeout. So another inning for Sean Newcomb today, and what's been a good start thus far for him. He's striking a ton of guys out so far at the start of this season. But boy, I'm hoping that we're not back into this mode of, you know, roulette wheel of who's available to start and, you know, who's coming on the Partridge Family bus from Buford to come over. When does Gwinnett start their season, by the way? When is there? Jarvis, see if you can look up when Gwinnett officially starts their season. I know Mississippi starts here soon. I've seen some of their tweets come out about that, but I'm curious when Gwinnett actually gets their season cranked up and underway. But it is a scary proposition to think, you know, okay, now look, Noah's been really good thus far. Two starts on the season. He has pitched in three games total, but two starts, total of 12 innings pitched. He's only given up the one run. He's got 15 strikeouts as well. I'm just concerned. I mean, look, you don't want Noah having to make 22 starts. You don't want I'm not ready for Kyle Wright to make 15 starts or something like that. I'm hoping that this is just a blip on the radar, that there's just a couple of things unique that have happened or whatever, but there's just too much expectation. And, you know, last year it was one thing to go through a 60-game season. What is it? They started on April 6th? Okay, so just a couple days ago, a week ago, I guess, or whatever, week or so ago, 10 days ago, whatever, at this point. So I'm guessing they probably haven't played more than a couple of games, two or three games probably at this point. So, but look, last year, for all the frustration and aggravation, remember, you only had to navigate through a 60-game season. So as long as you had one or maybe two guys that were healthy, you could power your way through it, then those guys get the majority of starts. And, of course, Max Fried had an unbelievable year. Then when Ian Anderson came up, you know, he looked like everything that you could hope for at that point as well. But this is 162 games. You know, we're back to a regular full season, and you hate to already think about, okay, we've got three of our guys in a rotation that we're not seeing right now. Yeah, we knew Soroka going into this year, it would be a little while, but the problem is he had a setback. So now I don't know that there's any real clear timetable for Newcomb to come back. I think they'll be even more cautious about bringing him back because he's had one setback already. You know, hamstrings with pitchers, much like anything else. Hey, I'll put it this way, with hamstrings. I say this is something Randy Mack and I used to talk about all the time. Hamstrings and high ankle sprains. If you think you're ready to come back from it, take another week. You feel like you're 100% ready to go, take another week. It's so easy to re-aggravate a high ankle sprain, hamstring injuries, that when you feel like you're ready to go, give it some extra time. Now, I understand that that's, you know, opposite of what the mindset of an athlete is and this, that, and the other, and I get all that. But this is about the long term. This is about navigating their way through the long term of this season. You don't have a 60-game shortened schedule that you can kind of hide things and kind of mix and match and Band-Aid, and Josh Tomlin can make a start, and you know what I mean? You can have an opening day pitcher. You need a full complement of pitchers. So it will be interesting to see how taxing it is and how many trips from Buford over to, you know, Smyrna that we get, you know, for the Partridge Family bus to work its way around and bring up young guys. You know, Noah was supposed to be here till Soroka was ready. Well, you know, Noah's pitching really well. You know, they may keep him around when Soroka gets back, because it feels like, okay, Smiley missed a couple starts here, Free missed a couple starts. You're going to need that guy that kind of can be that anchor in the bullpen for you right now. So I'm hoping that this is not a trend of we're having to fight this 2 years in a row of you got 60% of your rotation right now that's not available to you. That's pretty tough. And by the way, no clear timetable on Soroka. You know, they're hoping Smiley's a start or two out of all of this, but you never know. Free, like I said, hamstring, you hope he comes back right away and everything is good. I don't know. You know, that's the only thing that just kind of scares me is these guys being out for a long time. Ronnie today, 1-for-4 with a run scored, 2 RBIs, and another walk today, which we've talked about this. That's the part of this that I'm enjoying the most is watching him. You know, look, he's raking it and he's doing everything imaginable. He looks like the best player in baseball right now. He looks like the best player in Major League Baseball right now. And it's not a matter of talent or anything like that. It's a matter of all facets of his game coming together. And this feels like that this is going to be that year where all facets of his game come together. The power's been there. The speed has been there. The defense has been there. Now we see more plate discipline, batting average, getting on base without having to, you know, without making a hit, you know, via walk, you know, what have you. Those aspects of his game coming together. And we talked about this, you know, from last year about the fact that that's the thing that impressed me so much about Ronnie was you look at how much his on-base percentage had increased year over year and the amount of walks that were being drawn. Look, he still strikes out a ton. That's Major League Baseball. But, you know, if instead of being a, you know, 265, 270 hitter, you know, if he comes and now all of a sudden he's, let's say he's a 310 hitter, you know, I know he's hitting 442 right now, but he ain't going to hit 442 for the rest of the year. This isn't George Sisler in 1912. But if he's a 310, 315 hitter and strikes out 180 times, I don't care, because his numbers are going to be staggering and off the chart at that point. So, good win for the Braves today. Much needed, but let's hope this pitching staff starts to get healthy sooner rather than later. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk to our buddy Eric Edholm as we continue to get ready for the draft, now 13 days away, trying to figure out what the Falcons are going to do. We'll talk about some of the prospects and who's up, who's down stock-wise on all of that. It's all next. Chuck, we're hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 910 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening, 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll open up the phone lines coming up the top of the hour as well for a Challenge Chuckery. Don't forget, we've got Rankin coming up later on this evening. We'll talk to Chip Towers. A lot going on. Quickly, too, let me mention Georgia Tech's spring game is tonight as well. So they are on the field tonight. So do want to give Georgia State a little bit of love as their spring game happens tonight. Georgia tomorrow. Tech a week from tonight. So at least we're getting some spring football to at least break down and analyze and have a little bit of fun with. Speaking of breaking down and analyzing football, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy as we are 13 days away and counting from the NFL draft taking place. Eric Edholm is joining us, of course, covers the NFL and NFL draft for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. As always, Eric, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes on a Friday evening with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Appreciate that.
Eric, let's talk about, because I got some prospects I want to talk to you about, but
yeah,
what are you getting your sense is what the Falcons are going to do with the fourth pick? Is it pick or trade? When if you had to put your mortgage on one side or the other, where would you put it?
Yeah, I wish my house was paid off. It's a tough call. I mean, I suspect they want to move that pick. That's my gut feeling. It's based on the fact that they've kind of made it be known that pick is available. And I think there's some kind of window dressing to the fact that, I mean, granted, I know they want to do all the homework possible on the quarterbacks, but they've made a pretty good show of, you know, attending these pro days and, you know, kind of talking up the possibility of taking a quarterback and everything. So that to me makes me think that they would be willing to move it if the right, you know, right offer came along. And I don't know how far they'd be willing to move down. That's the biggest issue, I think, is, you know, New England at 15, Washington at 19, Bears at 20, you know, Saints at 28. I mean, is that, that's probably too far. Obviously, you don't expect those two teams to make a trade anytime soon. But, you know, that's the biggest issue. Maybe Denver at 9 is the safest play, but it won't get as much in return. So, I don't know. I would probably lean towards trade down. But it also wouldn't shock me if they just said, you know what, we have a chance to get a young quarterback. Let's do it. Or, you know, one of these offensive studs.
As you've started your evaluation process, because I'll ask you about a couple specific people that I'm curious about in just a couple minutes here. But give me the guy, since you've kind of started this whole evaluation process, maybe from the Senior Bowl on, that's moved up the most, you think, in teams' eyes, and the player that's moved down the most in teams' eyes.
Yeah, the one who's probably – there's a couple who have moved up in my eyes. I mean, sort of a meteoric rise, a Division III kid named Quinn Miners, center/guard from Wisconsin Whitewater. I mean, you know, he got seventh-round grades, PFA grades from teams after the 2019 season. He was going to be a rising senior. The season gets canceled. You know, he teaches himself how to play center and only gets a Senior Bowl invite because of an injury to Landon Dickerson from Alabama. And then he goes down there and kicks tail for 4 days. And now is a player who I could see getting drafted anywhere from the mid-second round to the early third. So that's one that comes to mind. Another one who's rising is, or has risen, is Jameen Davis, a linebacker from Kentucky. When I made my initial top 100 list, I kind of had him in that late third-round picture. I think I had him number 99 overall. This is back in, you know, January, February when I started putting my list together and made a couple calls and quickly figured out that there is some real affection for this guy and that he could end up either sneaking into the back end of round one or possibly early on day two. So those are the top two risers. You feel bad for a kid like Sean Wade, who actually had a pretty good pro day. He worked out at the same time as Justin Fields, Ohio State cornerback, and wanted to prove himself as an outside corner. Didn't play well last year, had some rough games. The Alabama tape should be burned. You know, mm-hmm. I hope, you know, scouts, yep, for his sake don't watch it. But in other games along the way, he just struggled. But as a nickel, he played really well. And he has some safety potential, too. And I think if he'd come out last year, he would have been a top 40 or 50 pick, possibly a first rounder, but more likely an early second. And now, day three, you know, round four, round five. So he's one that I think is probably hurt himself the most.
Eric, Greg Rousseau is a guy that when we talk about needs here in Atlanta, you know, it looks like a lot of people are starting to think that he's going to be out of the first round. And who, yeah, knows, maybe sits there at 35 for the Falcons. Is that kind of the feeling that you're getting? Is that, you know, just that only 1 year boomer bust potential for him, maybe it's just too much to risk, you know, in a first round pick.
Yeah, I get that sense because I think there are some other edge prospects who have fewer questions, let's say, or you know, they may not have quite the ceiling that Rousseau does. But you know, you're talking about a 15.5 sack season as a redshirt freshman. You know, that counts for something, and he's got the size that's really fascinating. I wrote him up the other day, and I kind of had a feeling that I wouldn't mind seeing him bulk up a little bit and become like that Calais Campbell type of five technique. So I don't know if that exactly fits what the Falcons are looking for, but you also could try to use him at end. I mean, I thought he was far more productive rushing the passer against on a per-snap rate against guards and centers on the inside. They line him up at nose tackle. It was kind of wild to see that big, tall, you know, defensive end type on the interior like that in passing situations. But, yeah, that's where he had a lot of success. And around the edge, he's still developing as a player. He was a high school wide receiver and, yeah, you know, linebacker. Yep. I mean, he was sort of a spindly, long guy who's still filling into his frame a little bit. But, Yeah, I mean, his landing spot is going to be fascinating. I do think early second round is more likely because there are some questions about, you know, whether he made the right decision coming out or not, you know, opting out and coming out this early.
How about Azeez Ojulari? You know, it feels like all of these guys, like Jalen Phillips and Azeez and Quiddy Pay, it feels like they're all kind of in like one group of, okay, they could all be either the first or third pass rusher drafted. They just feel like, for whatever reason, that they're just kind of in their own isolated group from everybody else.
Yeah, it's fair to say that there's no consensus on the top, I would say, three or four edges, and he being in that group, too. For some teams, I think, if they don't mind a guy who's a little on the lighter side, not super long, but has great disruptive qualities, right? We saw all the forced fumbles last year, you know, promising first year, terrific second year, you know, has some real pass rush juice. I was excited when I was watching him. I got pretty fired up about him, and he's pretty high on my list. I think I have him, he and Quiddy Pay are, I think, my kind of co-number ones, are very close to each other on my board. So, and, you know, Pay, if anything, the more I've watched, the more I've wondered, did I overrate him a little bit? So, you're right in pointing out that they may all kind of be lumped together in a lot of these media boards and such. Some teams have a little stronger feelings about it. Oh, you know, Jalen Phillips is clearly the best pass rusher, or Ojulari has the highest ceiling. I don't like Quiddy Pay. You hear all kinds of opinions, but they're not as closely knit as we are. But then again, we're trying to do kind of a consensus in some ways. So, yeah, I think I would be shocked if one of them went off the board in the first 10, 11, 12 picks, but I would be shocked if that weren't at least the three drafted by the end of round one.
Eric Edholm joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, NFL and NFL draft writer for Yahoo Sports. A guy that we know here in Atlanta, he's from Atlanta, and he feels like another guy who's starting to get a lot of love is Davis Mills, the quarterback out of Stanford. Is of the quarterbacks, is he kind of one of the biggest risers? Is he kind of the name that seems to be now catching a lot of popularity among teams?
Yeah, and I knew you guys love your football down there. I didn't realize it was such a quarterback factory, right? With, you know, with Fields and Lawrence and Davis Mills, what an unbelievable collection. It's quite a group this year. But yeah, Mills is so fascinating, obviously, just because of the small sample size. He only played 11 games. You know, or started 11 games, and they were spread out over two seasons. You know, he couldn't beat out KJ Costello, but then had to replace him in the opener in 19, and then he gets hurt. You know, and then this year, you know, had some ups and downs. I mean, he had the comeback. I think it was against UCLA. You know, last year he had two years ago he had the 500 yard passing game. You watch him, and he kind of like, you know, you squint and you say, is that Andrew Luck, right? I mean, because he's this big strapping guy in a Stanford uniform, but the more you watch him, the realize he's got a lot of talent, but he's also a little bit unrefined. And, you know, I speculated there was an outside chance he could slip in around one for a team that wanted to use the fifth-year option. And that would probably be the only way he gets in there, is if somebody really has a vision for him and feels like, yes, we can cultivate the talent. I mocked him to the Saints. That's a team that I think could be interested in him. But more likely, yes, a second-round pick. But, right, I would say a riser, absolutely. I mean, Kyle Trask goes out there and puts up bonkers numbers. And you could say he's a riser in the sense that, you know, 18 months ago, nobody really knew who he was. But his stock is really kind of cooled off, while guys like Mills and Kellen Mond, I think, have gotten a little more traction.
Oh, just a minute left, Eric. But I want to ask real quick, because Bill Belichick was talking about the evaluation process and how obviously it's even more difficult this year, you know, because even last year with the pandemic and everything, at least everybody had a full year of tape going into it. Is that kind of the sense that you're getting that, and again, I'm not woe was me-ing any of these guys. I mean, that's what they pay billions of dollars for scouting, but it is interesting because there's a lot of guys that didn't play last year. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you had this many kids that are going to get drafted high that didn't even play college football last year?
Never. Never. I mean, it's never happened, right? And that's going to lead, you know, Trey Lance is an unprecedented evaluation, and he played one game last year. You know, we mentioned Mills and his small sample size, but really it, you know, it comes down to there could be multiple top 10 picks who didn't play last year. Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, possibly Micah Parsons, you know, and you're going off what you saw as a young player. And I always use the Mitch Trubisky example. I mean, the Bears, it's a little unfair because he was, you know, he came out early or whatever, but the Bears saw more in Trubisky in 14 games worth of work than what Deshaun Watson did in 36 games and what Patrick Mahomes did in 29 games. The point being, you can have a great sophomore season or something like that, your first year of starting, and then you come back the next year and struggle. We've seen it time and time again. So who's to say any of these top guys couldn't have had a poor year that really would have affected their draft stock? So, yeah, there will be misses high in this draft, and that's the best. You know, we just have to try to figure out who these guys are and who will be the best, and I guarantee there'll be some real big busts in this year.
Follow him on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm, for all your latest draft update news, 13 days away. Join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Eric, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes. We'll be talking here soon as we'll actually have some picks to talk about right around the corner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, thank you, man.
You got it. When we get back for the top of the hour, challenge Chuckery. I gave Jarvis the question because I got something I want to get into because this is becoming a fascinating topic for people, and it relates to the NBA. We'll open up the phone lines to you as well. It's all next. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Odyssey.com app.